Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, if you will, please. I'd like for us to turn to Psalm 113 in the Word of God. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. It's not a long psalm. It only has 9 verses. And of course, I want to read it in its entirety as you listen this evening. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold, the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. And then this God is said in verse 9, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated there where you are. It doesn't take the psalmist long at the beginning of this chapter to get right to the point. You can see that in the first sentence of verse 1 where he says, praise ye the Lord. That's the first thing our moderator encouraged us to do tonight, gathering in this place to praise the Lord. I'll say this, he deserves our praise. Praise ye the Lord. But I'll tell you something, and I can only speak for myself. I always thought of praise as something that was emotional in nature. You get happy and you praise the Lord. Or maybe He sent you a blessing, so you praise the Lord. Or as a gentleman testified, two relatives cancer-free, praise the Lord. In other words, surely that's dependent on how I feel, on my emotional state. But here's the thing that just defies that theory. The verb here for praise is set in the imperative mood. You say, Brother Bagwell, it's been a while since I've been to English class. What do you mean it's in the imperative mood? It's a command. It's a command. God is not saying, praise me if things have gone well. God is not saying, praise me if you feel like it. God is not saying, praise me if I answered your last prayer like you wanted me to. God says you're to praise me no matter what. Praise ye the Lord. That's the kind of praise that he's asking for. All right, Brother Bagwell, we'll take your word for it. It's set as a mandate. I am to praise the Lord. That simply lifts the question before us, how do you praise God? What is involved in praising God? And I want to make this announcement, and I'll take an amen if you'll give it. There's more than one way to praise Him. There's not but one way to get saved. There's not but one who can save. And there's only one heaven He'll take you to when you get saved. But there's a whole lot of ways of praising Him. Amen. for doing so. Praise ye the Lord. What are some ways in which you can praise Him? And I'm not going to discuss that. Time would not allow. I'm just going to define the word that is used here for praise. At its root, at its heart, the verb means this. And I'll quote a little dictionary. To brighten up. To brighten up. And it carries the idea of these light fixtures up here. To brighten up. How does that mean to praise God? To brighten up. It means this. I hope you'll nod or smile. It means if Jesus is in your heart, sooner or later your face will find out about it. To brighten up. It means there'll be a smile on my face. It means there'll be a reflection here that is living in my heart. Hallelujah. I thought you was going to say, Brother Bagwell, praising means making a good bit of racket. And it can. I thought you was going to say, praising means taking a running fit. And it can. But may I advance to you this idea tonight? Praising Him might mean put a smile on your face. It might mean reflecting His goodness and His grace and His glory in our hearts and in our lives. Praise ye the Lord. That's how our text begins. So that's what the woman tried to preach on a few minutes tonight, praising our Heavenly Father. But wait a minute. Verse 1's got a little more to say than just praise ye the Lord. What am I supposed to be doing? It's a requirement. Praise the Lord. Now the second thing I want to address, and it is in verse 1, who's supposed to praise Him? Who is it that's supposed to get involved uplifting His name? And the Bible, be very clear here. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go take it like it's in the text. Here's who's supposed to be the leaders when it comes to praising God. Here's the crowd that's supposed to get it started. Here's the group that God said they're going to have to lead the charge when it comes to praising my name. Who is it? I'll need an amen. It's them preachers down there at God's house. You didn't get that, did you? Oh, ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. I like the way the moderator got us started tonight. He threw a little bit of inclination and incitement for us to praise the name of the Lord. You all know this well as I do. If the man of God ain't going to praise God, nobody else much going to praise. Praise ye the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord. I like that. Praise Him, you men of God. Leonard Ravenhill, he's dead, been with the Lord now years. A British revivalist said this. He said, if we got a fireball in the pulpit, we won't have ice cubes in the pew. Praise, preacher, they hadn't been praising God where I go. Hadn't been any rejoicing where I serve Him. Just seemed like it's been dull and dead. What's the answer? And I love preachers and I didn't come to be critical. I'll tell you the answer. Let the man of God lead the charge. Let the man of God say He's been good to us. Praise Him for His marvelous grace and mercy. All ye servants of the Lord, praise His goodness. And if God's man will set that example, it won't be hard for the rest of us to pray. Amen. Oh, ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And that little noun, and everybody know, one of Noah's sons is named this. The little word name is S-H-E-M, Shem. What does it mean? It means his reputation. It means his character. It literally means in the lexicon say his renown. We're to praise the name of the Lord. Don't think you're getting that. God's got a pretty good reputation. He's never let me down. Has He let any of y'all down? When you praise the name of the Lord, this is what you praise Him for. I'll need some amens. Praise Him because He's faithful. Hallelujah. Praise Him because He's good. Praise Him because He's righteous. Praise Him because He's everywhere at once. Praise Him because He's all powerful. Praise Him because He can't tell a lie. Praise Him for His marvelous mercy. And that's what the song is going to tell us to do, to praise the name of the Lord. But now I guess once we talked about what we're supposed to do, praise Him, and who's supposed to do it, the servants of the Lord, the next question might be this: when am I supposed to praise God? I'd like to get a timetable on this, please. You got any ideas there? Verse 2. It'll explain it for us. Notice it, if you will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here it comes. I'll need an amen. From this time forth and forevermore. The little expression, I guess it's called a prepositional phrase in English, from this time forth. Honestly, I looked it up. It means right now. Right now. When should I praise Him? This is a pretty good time to start tonight. You want me to get up and run? Not unless the Holy Ghost lays it on you. You want me to stand up and shout? Be all right with me if God tells you to. But we sure could smile, couldn't we? Sure could brighten up a little bit for the glory of God. From now, well, how long is this supposed to go on? Till the service is over? All camp meeting long? How long you expect me to do this? From this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Praise Him. Amen. From now on. Amen. Y'all see it, don't you? Amen. What am I supposed to do? Praise God. It's a command. Who's supposed to lead them men of God, them precious servants of the Lord? Well, my goodness gracious, what aspect of Him? The name of the Lord. All His essence, all His care. And when do they do it? You start now and you don't ever quit. Then, the next question that come to mind is, where am I supposed to praise? Well, I reckon down at Burke County Camp Meeting, that'd be one of the places. Might not hurt to praise Him at the church house. Might not hurt to praise Him at our house. Might not hurt to praise Him a little bit in the car. Might not hurt to praise Him maybe down yonder. But none of those answers do like the next verse. It's going to tell us where. Verse number 3. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Right, we got to figure this out. This is the where of praising Him. From wherever the sun comes up, y'all smile a little bit, to wherever the sun goes down, you ought to praise Him. I'm glad over yonder in the Hawaiian Islands when the sun come up today, God had Him somebody praising His name. I'm glad over yonder in the British Isles tonight, while the sun's long ago gone, 5 hours ago gone down, I'm glad God's got Him some people praising His name. I'm glad I serve a God. He's got people loving Him everywhere. Hallelujah. The world and the devil would have us believe we're in a itty-bitty minority. And we are walking a straight and narrow way. And few there be that find it. But I'm telling you, time you add us all up, all the saints of all the ages, you put us together in an amalgamated fort, there are a lot of folks been born again, haven't they? But if their graveyards are going to burst open on rapture morning or rapture evening, east to west, glory to God. You can't go anywhere where it's not right to praise His name. Or at least if you are, you ought to get out of there. That's for sure. Y'all see what it's doing? It's telling me the what. It's telling me the who. It's telling me the when. It's telling me the where. Wonder what else it's going to say. Oh, verse number 4. Let me just say this real quick. If you're going to praise God, you sure better be praising the right God. There's more than one of them. Oh, no, don't misunderstand. There's only one true living God. Beside Him, there is no other. But in the eyes of the world, their gods are plenty. And their gods are plenty. So we got to find out about the real God. Can I make this announcement? There ain't but one like Him. Amen. Beside Him, there is no other. Hallelujah. Yes, you say, Brother Bagwell, what's so special about your God? I'll just... And somebody said this recently. And they said it as a criticism of our God. They said them Christians worship a Father in heaven who slew His own Son. Sinners could get saved. This smart mouth liberal said this. Said if that God slew His Son, I don't care who it's for. That's the worst case of child abuse I've ever seen, and I could never serve Him. I could never love Him. I despise Him all my days. I mean, that's in print. That's documented. I'd like to make an announcement. That Father and that Son and Him offering on Calvary, He did. I got to say it again. He did. You'll have to figure out what it is. The world may call it child abuse. I call it the greatest example of love I ever read about anywhere. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and that's how I got saved. Amen. That's the kind of God I'm talking. I'm talking about a God the Father who had a God the Son who was virgin born, lived a sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, vicariously died for us, and washes our sin away in His blood. Amen. Verse 4 is going to describe this God. Said the Lord is high above all nations. And His glory above the heavens. Now if I take this literally, our God is high above all nations. This is interesting. The verb is high, and it's verbalized. You say, preacher, what? It's R-U-M, room. It's a little Hebrew verb, and it means high, means it's going up. But it is set. There's not really tense in Hebrew, but it is set with an action that means God's getting, I don't know if you're going to smile or not, God's getting bigger every day. He is big yesterday in my eyes, but He's bigger yet today. Anybody here, your God's getting bigger. Anybody here, He's doing things this year greater than He ever did before, answering prayers, meeting needs. His grace is more sufficient. That's the kind of God I'm serving. He's high above all nations. Now we all know He can't get any higher. He's absolutely perfect in all of His attributes, but it sure looks like it from where I'm standing. High above all nations. It wouldn't surprise me God's above Libya. It wouldn't surprise me God's above Russia. It wouldn't surprise me God's above Spain and Portugal and England. And it wouldn't surprise me God's above the United States of America. He's above all nations. He's in control. I guess that shouldn't even have to be preached. Just bragging on God, that's all in the world. Look at verse 4. And His glory is above the heavens. His glory is above the heavens. Let me add verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? His glory is above the heavens. He dwelleth on high. I want you to get this. The verb dwelleth there, and it actually, it's a word that means to be at home. Up yonder on high where God lives, He ain't just a visiting. He's at home up there. Where is it? Above the heavens. Above, this is revolutionary. This has changed my doctrinal view. If you'd asked me a year ago, Brother Bagwell, where's God? I'd have looked you in the eye and I'd say, well, God lives in heaven. Not the first heaven, not the second heaven, but He lives in the third heaven. That's God's home. Then I done hauled off and read this and found out He lives above the heavens. I'm not going to leave that till y'all get it. He lives above the heavens. You can't. When Solomon dedicated the temple, Solomon said, God, we give this place to You. Move in here and inhabit. Then he said, but we got enough sense to know. I'll need an amen. This temple's not big enough to hold You. He said, come to think of it, the heavens can't hold You. I'm telling you, He lives above the heavens tonight. We'll never grasp how great that God is. Are y'all all right? What a God. Who is like? Who is like unto this God? But then, this psalm does an amazing thing. After using 5 verses making God higher and greater and describing Him in ever-increasing terms of magnitude, it pulls an about-face, does an absolute reverse, and says of this great God who lives above the heavens, it says this. I want you to notice the words. Verse number 6. Who humbleth Himself. Who humbleth Himself. Brother Bagwell, I don't understand what you mean. Who humbleth Himself. What in the world are you trying to tell me? He humbleth Himself. The little verb there for humble simply means this. Remember now where He is. And I want to see, I want to watch you so I can see if there's a smile. It means He's a coming down. He's a coming down. I don't understand that. That great big God up yonder, but He's a coming down. I hope I can explain this in a way that will be a blessing. Thank you, preacher. There's somebody here tonight. Let's get back to our verse. It'd be better. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Don't miss what I'm about to say. What am I supposed to be doing? Praising God. Who ought to lead and get me started? The servants of God's men. What about Him? All of His traits. All of His... And when? All the time. Where? Everywhere. What kind of God is that? He's an amazing one of a kind God who lives above the heavens. And then He's coming down. He's condescending. He's humiliating Himself. He's lowering Himself. Now watch. Where does He stop? Look at it. I don't want you to miss it. I got to stay with my... He humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Great God Almighty, higher than the high, exalted above the heavens. He's on his way down. And on his way down, he stops and looks in heaven.
Oh my.
That's what I'd have never preached before. I'd have said he started in heaven. He began in heaven. But no, this psalmist plumb carried away. He's so high up yonder, on his way down, he stops and he looks into heaven. I can see him now. Michael, things all right down here? Gabriel, how are things going over there? Seraphim, cherubim, living creatures. He's a checking on our loved ones who've gone up. He's checking in heaven. That's amazing. That's thrilling. Hey, could I get an amen? That is some more God. But he's still coming down. He's on his way down. Where's he going? Where's he headed? This magnificent, almighty, unique, says he beholds the things that are in heaven and in the earth. I don't have no trouble believing he stopped by heaven. Boy, this is problematic to me. That great God, that almighty God come all the way down here to earth. Brother Bagwell, that's stretching it right there. Surely you don't believe God come to earth. Hear me and hear me well. I'd appreciate a witness here. He come to earth.
Amen.
When do you think he come to earth? 2,000 years ago in the form of a little baby boy. God came to earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If there's a God like that, and he's all the Bible says he is, and he inhabited the heights of all of his created universe, and one day he came down by heaven and checked her out, came all the way to the earth. That is a unique God. Wait a minute. If God did that, why did he come to earth? Why would a holy God want to come to a hog pen like earth? To manifest himself, to exhibit himself. Boy, don't that beat all you've ever thought about in you? Let's see if we can figure out why he come. Believe it'll tell us. Wait a minute, I'm at verse 7, but I got to ask a question. Are y'all all right? Are you still with me in the text? Here's why I came. I don't know if we can understand it. They say this is poetry. Inspired poor. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Go figure that. God didn't come down here to dwell with kings. God didn't come down here to hobnob with millionaires. He came down here on behalf of the poor, on behalf of the needy, on behalf of the abject of this world. I'm going to say it one more time. That is some more God. What you say he's going to do? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Better read that word poor for something like bankrupt. Didn't have a thing. Broke. Busted. And he brought that one up out of the dust. In our King James, by the idea of the word dust there, it's powder. It is translated several times ashes. Oh my, I'm having a thought. You mean that great God came to earth and raised up some poor folks out of the dust? Out of the ashes, you'll get it right off. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. That dust right there, it is a picture. That dust right there is a picture of the grave. It's a picture. You know what this verse is saying? That God left heaven above heaven, came down to heaven, came down to earth for one reason. I hope I get an amen. To make dead men live.
Amen.
to lift up old poor wretched hell-bound sinners out of the dust, out of the ashes, out of the grave. I was dead in trespasses and sin till it found me, till it saved me, and you are too. Hallelujah. We were spiritually bankrupt, poor as we could be, and God brought us up out of the dead. Some of y'all need to praise him a little bit. If you would. Well, Brother Bagwell, if you're anywhere near right, that's astounding. Why, we're not through with that verse yet. And, I'm in verse 7. He lifteth up the needy. And that is a stronger word for poor than even he lifteth up the needy. The beggars starving to death. Ain't got no clothes to wear. Nobody loves them or cares. He lifteth up the needy out of the, and I'll declare. Yeah. Dunghill. Yes, sir. Well, you better be careful how you talk. You at the Burke County camp meeting. You can't talk about no dunghill around here. And everybody in the house knows what it means, and no, I ain't going to define it neither. Brother Bagwell, that's demeaning. That's belittling. I don't know if I'll get another amen or not. He got me out of the dunghill. Might be some others he got out of the dunghill tonight. I'm glad he can go to the dunghill of dope addicts. I'm glad he can go to the dunghill of drunkards. I'm glad he can go to the dunghill of a wicked living. I'm glad he can go to the dunghill. Lift us up out of that miry clay. Wash us, cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb. Set our feet on the solid rock. Hallelujah. Lifted them out of the dunghill. That's why he came to earth. As sure as the world. Y'all all right? Amen. If all that's true, I ought to be praising him. Amen. And I shouldn't have to be told I had to, neither. Amen. But then, and this is beautiful, the logic. Well, why did God do that? Why did he save them old dead sinners? Why did he lift people out of the dunghill and clean them up? For here's a, it'll tell us. It'll tell us, verse 8. And I got some good news. I hope you'll smile. We're only going to verse 9. That's all it's got. Verse 8. Why did God get that sinner out of the grave? Why did God lift us out of the dunghill? That he may set him, position him among princes. Y'all not going... That he may set them among princes. You weren't saved long till for the first time in your life, God gave you the right set of friends. You know what happened after you got saved? God led you to some old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church. God had you walk that aisle, make a profession of faith. I need some amens here. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and you joined the best crowd you've ever run with. You got some friends for the first time in your life. He set you among some princes. Hallelujah. Best crowd in Burke County is gathered under this roof tonight. The princes of God. Well, I'll have to think that over. Who are princes? I can answer that. They're children of the King. Anybody here a child of the King tonight? Anybody here, his royal blood flows through your veins tonight? Thank God for church people. Thank God for brothers and sisters. He saved me. He brought me out of that mess. And he set me among princes.
Amen, preacher.
But what kind of princes? Well, there have been some princes who weren't all that good. There have been some princes who were rascals. Spoiled. My verse number 8 says, he set us with princes, even the princes of his people. Now don't y'all die out on me. We're sitting among God's people tonight. There are two words the Holy Ghost could use for people. One means a conglomeration of helter-skelter, thrown together folks that just about tantamount to our word crowd. When God saved you, He didn't put you in a crowd.
Amen.
Where God put, the word is A-M, om. It's a little Hebrew noun and it means this. I hope you'll smile. It means the kinsfolk. If you're here tonight and you're sad, you're among the princes of God. You're among God's people and we're related to one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Boy, I'm glad when I got a need, God's got a bunch of young'uns down at church who'll pray for me. I'm glad when they're hungry over yonder, God's got a man, he'll take up an offering, raise $2,000. Thank God, aren't you glad that's the kind of crowd we run with? That is amazing. Told me to praise God whether I felt like it or not. Then turned around and told me why. How great He is. How awesome He is. When I ought to praise Him. Where I ought to praise Him. Why I ought to praise Him. And then had that great big God come down to heaven to earth. Have His Son die on the cross for me. Got me out of the grave, lifted me out of the dunghill, and if that ain't all the icing on the cake, He put me in a Bible-loving church. Hallelujah. With the cream of the crop of His youngest. Well, that's all the psalm except one verse. Verse number 9. And this verse is, the professor, the teacher would say, this verse is problematic. Everything in this text is talked about God, our great God, and how wonderfully. And then verse 9, it just don't look like it fits. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. We got 8 verses about a great God and 1 verse, I hope you'll smile, about a woman keeping house. It is so awkward. It is so uneven that the liberals, the progressives, they say that verse don't belong there. Well, Scott, the word they use, as you know, is redactor. They say some editor got a hold of this. This is the last verse of some other psalm. It don't belong here. This is an errata. This. I'd like to make an announcement tonight. Ain't no mistakes in my Bible. Ain't no mistakes in yours neither. We got a perfect, inerrant, inspired Bible, and I may never figure out why verse 9's there, but it's there for a reason. So we're just going to live with it. And then I got to thinking about it one day, and I thought, you know, verse 9 might just explain this whole thing. How did that great God, high above the heavens, who came down by glory and looked in, then come down here and got me out of the dunghill and got us out of the spiritual graveyard? How in the world, and set me among His young. How in the world did He do it? Y'all listening? Verse 9, I'm going to tell you how He did it. He used a barren woman. No, it didn't go far enough back. He used a barren woman. She's just a little old girl. She was a virgin. She's a Jew. And she's of the tribe of Judah. And she'd never had no babies. No man had ever touched her. She wasn't even married in the sense we use the word. And all of a sudden one day that little old darling virgin girl, I'll need some amens here, got a visit from an angel. And Gabriel said, "Blessed art thou among women. You're barren. No man's ever touched you, but by the hand of God, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, help me out. You're going to have a baby. There she was setting up housekeeping. There she is getting her pottery ready. There she is about to get married. And all of a sudden, long before it's supposed to happen, hope you'll smile, there's a baby on the way. And if you're not getting it yet, I'll just go ahead and tell you his name. It's Jesus. The darling Son of God. Said he makes the barren woman. Said he makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mama. To be a Can I make an announcement? I'm not going to say Mary's the mother of God. I don't reckon God's got a mother, but Mary is the mother of the humanity of Jesus. Hallelujah. She's the one God used to be a joyful mother of children. And that's how he done it. That's not good enough. That's how he done it. When he got us out of the dunghill. Now there's a little issue there. Probably don't have to address it. Preacher, that ain't going to work. I see the barren woman. I see the housekeeping. But it says she'll... And I see the mother. But this says she'll be the joyful mother of children. That's plural. All right, I'll say this. Y'all look pretty smart, pretty sharp. Jesus was the firstborn. Only Jesus was virgin born. And after Mary gave birth to Jesus, she and her husband Joseph came together, lived like God intended a husband and wife to live together. I don't know. And God gave them other young'uns. Mark 6:3 names them. This verse is right. She's the joyful mother of children. But there ain't none like that firstborn. The Lord Jesus Christ. Does this make any sense? See how the Holy Ghost pieced this thing together? Let's close. Let's end. I guess we are in verse 9. Make a joyful mother of you. Oh, there it is. Praise ye the Lord. This ain't going to end up like it started. Praise ye the... And again, it's an imperative mood verb. He said, praise me, no matter what. I hope I'll get a nod here. Then he told me why. I said, then he told me why. Because of Jesus. Because he got me out of the dunghill. Because of the grace of an almighty God. Then after he told me why, he said, again I say unto you, praise ye the Lord. Now I got to give you one more thought about the word praise. And it's so neat. And there are only about two different words of thought, metaphors, word pictures in Hebrew about praise. And one is this. The Hebrew noun for praise is yada. Y-A-D-A-H. Yada. So what? The Hebrew word for hand is yad. Y-A-D. God took the word for hand, Y-A-D, and made it the word for praise, Y-A-D-A-H. Which makes me wonder if in God's mind there's not a connection between a human hand and praising His name. And if there is, we've discovered two unique ways of praising Him tonight. One's a smile on my face, brightening up in my countenance. And the other is using my hand to praise His name. Let's try it. Anybody saved? Anybody going to heaven? praise ye the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost, and I know they debate, is God emotional? Can God, or is he a passive God? But it's almost humorous what the Holy Ghost does here. The words, praise ye the Lord. And praise here literally is the word hallel, to brighten up. We've already covered hallel. But normally in these verses, 6,000 plus times, the word for Lord is Yahweh. It's four consonants. They call it the tetragrammaton. Are y'all still listening to me? Can y'all go about three more minutes? Normally, this verse, praise ye the Lord, would include Yahweh at the end. But here, the Holy Ghost, for some reason, abbreviates the name Lord. And instead of Yahweh, he put YAH. And the Y is pronounced J in English. He put Yah. I put it in Hebrew, praise ye the Yah. Praise ye the Lord. Now think about that. Hallel is praise. We get Hallel Yah. Well, that hadn't gone anywhere yet. Hallel Yah. And I looked it up in the Masoretic text. When you put that verb and that noun together, they fuse a vowel sound, and I am telling you the truth. It's the U sound. And in Hebrew, it says, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Smile and say it.
Hallelujah.
Sort of hard to smile and say. Do your best to smile and say it.
Hallelujah.
Now, use your hand and say it.
Hallelujah.
Y'all can beat that.
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's stand. Oh, you've listened well. You've smiled. You've been an encouragement to this preacher tonight. I'd like to hear you say it in Hebrew, because I just taught it to you.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. How's it sound in Hebrew?
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Give it to me again.
Hallelujah!
With a smile on your face and a hand in the air, one final time.
Hallelujah!
That's what we're commanded to do. From
yes,
this time forth.
Amen.
And forevermore. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Musicians will come. And preacher, if I could just softly play it first. Say, preacher, that's just a little simple. And it is. But it talks about how great our God is. Is somebody denied in the place in your life? You need a minute at the altar. And you want to thank Him for what He did for you. Is there anybody denied He got you out of the dunghill and you hadn't forgot it? Anybody here denied and He lifted you up out of the dust? And you'd just like to commit yourself afresh and anew with a smile on your face. When appropriate, a hand in the air, thanking Him. And loving Him and praising Him. You do what He leads you to do. And I believe He'll be pleased. What's our number, brother?